Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment. Wait for it. Gaming? Wait for it. Anime?
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast. My name is Phil Smith, a.k.a. Phil the Filipino. And of course, I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Eric Almighty. And Eric, we have seen Godzilla vs. Kong, the final movie, at least for now, in the MonsterVerse. And we just wanted to see Big Monkey versus Big Lizard. And, you know, that's what we got. And we're here to talk about it.
Yeah, and I mean, we're going to tell you how much of that actually happened. The last time that we were told we were going to get a particular type of movie, we did not react very kindly to what we got. And that was Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and rubbed some people the wrong way. So hopefully we can come back and enjoy this movie. And I think, this is definitely a better step without getting into too much. But we are going to keep this very, very spoiler free. So you do not have to worry about that for Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, so if you guys have not seen it yet and you are kind of on the fence about whether or not to check it out, we will let you know everything that you need to know. Before we get started, though, welcome to the Wait For It Podcast. As we mentioned in the very, very beginning, this is our first episode for the month of April. Man, we have so much. If you guys thought March was packed, April is going to be even more so packed. And of course, we have a full review of Mortal Kombat coming later on this month as well. So welcome to those of you who have been joining us for a while, and also welcome to those of you that are brand new. So Eric, for those of them that have never been here before, let them know how our movie reviews usually break down.
Yeah, so we usually keep it pretty simple, but we are going to throw a little bit of a wrinkle into this week's review. So we're going to jump straight into our likes and our dislikes. We're going to mention, usually go right into our final thoughts and our final grades, but what we're going to do this time actually is mention our rankings for this MonsterVerse, especially because the MonsterVerse pretty much has an unknown future, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So we're going to rank the existing movies between Kong and Godzilla, including this one, and see where they fall in the pipeline.
That's correct, guys. So if you enjoy this episode, stick around to the very, very end, and I'll let you know where you can find all of our content. But let's get right into it here, Eric. Godzilla versus Kong, the finale of this huge meetup they've been teasing since like 2014, I think. The synopsis reads, the epic next chapter in the cinematic MonsterVerse pits two of the greatest icons in motion picture history against one another, the fearsome Godzilla and the mighty Kong, with humanity caught in the balance. That's my that was my epic movie voice. If this doesn't work out, I'm gonna try and do movie trailers or something.
Honestly, that wasn't that bad. I do feel like we missed Ken Watanabe's voice reading the plot there. I feel like that would have been great to start the movie off.
We're going to talk about Ken Watanabe here in just a moment. We'll get to it here a little bit later in the review. But Eric, let's get into it here. And of course, we always tackle positives or likes in this film. I will go first. This has been kind of constant throughout all of these films, I think, when it comes to the CGI and the visuals. We want to see epic, gigantic titans that look cool, that look menacing, that look badass. And Kong and Godzilla, these designs I've been fans of since we first saw them a few years ago. And, you know, we got a couple of new titans, I guess, in a certain part of the movie. Those designs were pretty cool as well. But, you know, as always, the visuals in this, as expected in a giant blockbuster in the year 2021, were pretty on par. And I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, I mean, well, so I don't want to like say I'm going to have like a lot of dislikes, right? But I feel like saying that the monsters looking cool is like, that's kind of a cheap out. I kind of wish I went first, because that is the good thing. When Godzilla and Kong are on the screen, it's awesome. You know, when you put it all together, it's really, really good. As far as the fight scenes and the action sequences, I thought they were really, really awesome. Now, I will say, unfortunately, this is going to be another negative we talk about, but I will say in a positive light to this negative, the human characters weren't so bad this time around.
Agreed.
And that's actually a positive statement. we will be, I will be complaining about them a little bit and some of the things that happen, but it was definitely a little bit more tolerable this time around. I felt at least emotionally connected to at least one character, and I definitely got a funny reaction from Brian Tyree Henry,
yes,
who is just great in everything awesome. He does. He's hilarious and fellow podcaster there. It's really great. Really great.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, Brian's character, which is Bernie Hayes, he plays like this conspiracy theorist, you know, obviously, you know, coming out, a man after my own heart, right, Eric? You know, a guy, of course, you know, spewing all the conspiracy theories there in that universe. Really, really great. I'm wondering if the other character that you really enjoyed was played by the youngster, Kaylee Hoddle, who is Gia. Is that the character that you're referring to?
Yeah, I definitely got an emotional attachment to her and Kong's relationship. She's the little girl in the trailers that you see. I thought she did great with what she did and the challenges that character had to face and kind of that relationship she builds with Kong. I thought that was done very well for it being a very quick turnaround to that story. I mean, that was never something that was even explored in Kong Skull Island, to my knowledge. I don't remember that character or even any semblance of there being a hint that there would be a young girl that he would form an attachment with. So I thought they did a good job doing that early on in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, you know, we have that classic King Kong story. I can't remember, like the early 2000s Kong with Naomi Watts, I think, you know, and Jack Black, where they, you know, tackle that classic, you know, King Kong story where Kong, I guess, falls in love with an adult human woman. I don't know 100% sure what the origins of that are.
Tony Kong.
Yeah, so that movie obviously did, you know, maybe we'll tackle that down the line, but seeing, yeah, this relationship between Gia, I hope that's how you pronounced her name, I can't 100% remember, between Gia and Kong was definitely very good. And, you know, I will say this, Eric, I don't know if you have anything else that you wanted to point out, but, you know, we have been wanting, at least in the moments that we got with the monster fights, and this kind of goes back to the CGI again and the visuals, you know, I thought the monster fights were, at least they, what is advertised is what you get, at least when it does, you know, actually happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And like I said, I definitely have some interesting thoughts and some things to say in dislikes, which unfortunately I'm starting to get the vibe from you that may be where the bulk of our conversation goes. But, you know, before we do that, I do want to preface this by saying if you are going to come to watch a blockbuster movie that you don't really care much about and you're just going to watch it probably once because there's nothing else to do, it's a great trip. It's a fun trip. It's a fun ride.
Yeah.
I could only imagine seeing it in theaters, Phil, like you. I watched it on HBO Max. I did think that a lot of the things were missed out on by not experiencing it in the theaters. I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but you and me are very big theater buffs as far as
what that
experience does, not only with other people, but the sounds and all of that that the theater really provides. So I got to say, if you are going to go watch it, you're going to give it a chance, I highly recommend doing it in theaters. A private party for this type of thing would be really cool. I kind of am sad we didn't do that.
I was going to say, I actually kind of wish I did see it in theaters because like you mentioned, there definitely would have been some moments that have been really cool and to see on the big screen. Because there were a few moments, especially in the climax, where I was cheering. You know, I was like, come on, you know, like I found myself, you know, at least rooting for something. You know, I think you personally probably know which character I'm rooting for. So I was terrified the entire time that what was going to happen, you know, was going to happen or not. But so, you know, I definitely got into it for sure. And yeah, like Eric said, if you haven't seen it yet and you do have the opportunity to safely go to a movie theater, I think it definitely would lend itself to that experience for sure.
Yeah. And one last thing I'll mention too, is that the movie does promote Godzilla versus Kong. They do deliver on that front and having kind of like a clear winner. But obviously they're just like any movie, they're going to have a reason to kind of put those, you know, quarrels to the side and, you know, fight for a cause. So this movie follows that trail that you probably are expecting or you've already gotten hints about. Those hints are accurate.
Yeah. Lots of theories abound. I'll save it for the next part. Yeah, but yeah, go ahead.
That's pretty much it. Just again, that you get a clear winner and that's at least nice. Phil, I think you and me are itching to kind of go into dislikes. And again, I don't want to tear this movie apart, but, you know, I'll go first on the dislike part. The human characters are better. Again, the movie is just slow. It's just slow. I will try to give myself some credit here, because what I'm going to do is quote Jeremy Johns a lot in his review that he did for Godzilla, because I really had a lot of these things in my head, but I didn't know how to form the words. So I'm going to just take his because they're better. And his was pretty much, to start off, at one point, the movie is more Journey to the Center of the Earth than it is Godzilla versus Kong. Mm-hmm. And there is a specific part of the movie where you are taking a journey that took too long. It bored the hell out of me. I found myself yawning at several points. Now, sure, I've had a little bit of a long day, but I didn't yawn during the Snyder Cut. That's all I'm saying. That was a 4-hour movie. I was tired that day, too. I'm tired being an adult. Living, so
that's fair.
Not a real good
excuse. I actually fell asleep for like 10 minutes in the Snyder Cut, but that's neither here nor there. If you want to hear our thoughts on the Snyder Cut, check out our brand new YouTube page, which we will link in the show notes.
There we go. Fantastic. So that's where I'm going to start off, because I'm going to quote a couple things that really lined in there with me. But that was the first one. Was there was just a lot of different sections of the movie that moved at such a slow pace, and it was because at least the humans were with Kong during that specific scene. We're not going to get, you know, that specific journey. We're not going to get into it too much, but I just feel like if you were going to already have one of the Titans on screen, make it worth it. Like, I don't know, just a lot of sitting around and then a couple fights, which again, if you were to form them all together, to Jeremy John's point, we'll make a pretty cool YouTube clip. So just go watch that.
So mine is, and I'm definitely with you on that particular sequence. I was thinking, this is taking a long time, right? I felt like, are we still doing this? But one of my gripes is, and this is kind of not necessarily part of the movie itself, but the marketing gave away too damn much of this movie. The marketing did not help, I don't think, in my opinion. I was already excited to see the film, you know, even though we had our thoughts of King of the Monsters, and I think it's honestly one of our lowest reviewed movies of all time. If you guys have listened to us for a while, we like almost everything.
Wonder Woman 84.
Wonder Woman 84, Lion King, and King of the Monsters are like the only three out of all the movies we've ever reviewed are like the only ones where we're like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. So we're relatively positive when it comes to films. I think you could agree with that, Eric. But I just think the marketing gave away too much. As you mentioned, there is a threat that presents itself that's essentially given away in the trailer. People knew about this for a year. You know what I mean? Like, we knew that was going to happen. And this is tying into that. Okay, here's one thing I am going to have to, I guess it will be a slight spoiler. I do want to talk about it. So skip ahead maybe a couple of minutes, and I'll let you know when you can come back. I hated the design of that big bad. It looked terrible. If you know what the kind of like the original character looks like, I was thinking more along the lines of like the Dragonzord, right, from Power Rangers. And it just didn't look threatening to me. Now, granted, it's not in the film that long, you know, but so you know I hated the design. I did not like Godzilla's a thick boy, man.
Godzilla's thick. This was like fast forward 5 years on like a very strict diet.
Like an anorexic, like I'm trying to get this movie role. Remember when, what's his name? Who's the guy that played Batman in The Dark Knight? Why am I blanking on his
Christian
name?
Christian Bale?
Remember when Christian Bale lost a lot of weight for that movie role? That's what it looked like. So yeah. If you're listening now, you can probably come back. But I just did not like that design, and it was very underwhelming to me, and I was very disappointed because I was excited to see that character. It also reminded me of like when King of the Monsters, like we knew all of the monsters that were going to be in there. How awesome would it have been if we went into that thing not knowing Ghidorah was in it, right? Like that's a iconic Godzilla monster, and we already knew what was going to happen. Like, and that's not just this, like that's so many movies now. I think I'm gonna adopt what my sister does, and she doesn't watch any trailers for any movie that she wants to see, and she just watches the movie blind when she comes into it and experiences all that stuff for the first time. It's really smart, and maybe we need to start doing that.
Phil, you know me way better than that.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know
you're not going to be able to do it.
I can't just, like, skip past a trailer. Like
I told Eric to watch Invincible. And for those of you who have watched Invincible, before Eric even watched it, he just found, like, the most shocking scene in the first episode that draws you in and just watched it before he even watched the damn show.
I would like to defend myself and say it popped up on my timeline.
Just don't click it. Just don't click it.
So
Anyway, Godzilla vs. Kong. Let's get back to that.
I don't understand the pacing of the movie. Some of the characters are okay. We highlighted a few that are fine. Millie Bobby Brown is, I think, better in this one than the last one because she had just a one sole purpose. Kyle Chandler, fun fact, in both versions of a Kong movie, although he basically is relegated to a cameo here.
Yeah, he was barely. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
From King of the Monsters. I was like, oh yeah, the dad. Millie Bobby Brown's dad. So, where was the mom?
Okay, well, spoilers for Godzilla King of the Monsters. She died. So she died.
Did she really? God, see, I pushed that movie like out of my mind. Whoops.
I love how, like, so this isn't really spoiler.
Where was Bryan Cranston?
So Millie Bobby Brown, this is not really a spoiler because we're alluding to it. She at one point tells her dad, like, you know, you and mom saw something happen. And what were you thinking when you were watching the movie? Like, huh.
Wonder where she is. I do not remember that.
Alexander Skarsgård was okay. He just had a very bleak backstory and he just went along with everything. If you see his character, also his picture on IMDb, I think you're gonna get a laugh out of that. Don't understand why that's the picture. Rebecca Hall was fine. Julian Dennison, I loved in Deadpool. I did not like here. I thought complete omission to the movie, added nothing.
Yeah, I was actually excited when I saw him and I was like, oh cool. And then yeah, again, added nothing. Not even comic relief, because none of the lines delivered by him were funny. And that's not his fault.
Yeah, so again, these human characters, we're already spending too much time in the review talking about them. It actually pisses me off that we've talked about the human characters so much, but if we don't talk about them, we don't have a review. Right. And that's kind of the issue with this particular movie that I think all of them fall into. They start off kind of fast-paced, actually.
Yeah, they kind of get to it, right? Yeah, which is great. Yeah. That probably should have been brought up in the likes. They, like I said, in this, you get what's advertised pretty early on. Did you mention, Eric, the character, the actor and the character, Shun Aguri? I can't remember if I pronounced his name.
I did not, but I'm glad you brought him up, because at first I was like, oh, this guy, pretty cool. He's got like a intimidating presence. Yeah. And they didn't do very much with
him. No, and that was a huge missed opportunity, in my opinion. Now, because I was actually looking into this on the Godzilla subreddit. You know, because of course that's where you can really learn a lot. You know, I know so many people are passionate about these films and about these characters, and I totally get that and I respect that. I go into it, and you and I go into it, Eric, you know, for different reasons. But he is the son of Ken Watanabe's character from the first Godzilla, and I don't even remember. They must have just glossed over it, and I wasn't paying attention. But I didn't know that until I went into the subreddit. I didn't know that they were related. Like, they could have totally expanded on that. Like, did he end up in the position that he is in? You know, where did he come from? All that kind of stuff. Like, that would have, and he is apparently a very big deal in Japan. Like, he is like a top-notch actor out there. So total missed opportunity. Yeah.
And you could tell in the couple scenes that he's in that he looks like a pretty decently good actor. Like, you could just tell, unlike the mustache twirling villain, human villain in the movie, that's just like, again, and that's where the Alexander Skarsgård character pissed me off, because it's like, you just get manipulated by this evil guy and then
didn't even have to try, honestly.
Yeah. I just again, really, really odd. But it's gonna piss me off more if we talk about the human characters here any further. But one thing that doesn't piss me off when I use it is our affiliate Instacart.
You know, with everything going on right now, the way people shop their daily needs has drastically changed, and that's probably changed forever, which is why we want to tell you guys about Instacart. Eric and I have both taken advantage of Instacart while we were in lockdown, and we were so happy with how easy it is to use. Matter of fact, even when things are relatively back to normal, I'll probably continue to use Instacart and never shop for my own groceries ever again.
And that makes a lot of sense, because you can get the products you love from your local stores and even shop among your favorites on a single order. Instacart delivers to your door as quickly as 1 hour. They highlight deals to help you save money. They pick the freshest produce and they keep your eggs safe too.
Yeah, Instacart makes it incredibly easy for their shoppers to handpick what you want based on your preferences. You can find everything you usually buy, as well as get smart suggestions for new items.
So after this episode's over, follow the link in the show notes. It lets Instacart know that we sent you, gets you free delivery on your first order over $35, and it helps support our show.
All right, folks. So as we mentioned in the very beginning, we are going to get to our final grades here in just a moment. But first, Eric, we want to take the time to rank the movies in this MonsterVerse. So, of course, there have been four, if I remember correctly. This started all the way back in 2014 with Godzilla, and then, of course, culminating here with Godzilla versus Kong. So, Eric, do you want me to go first here? Because I've kind of been thinking about this, you know, since we talked about it a little bit earlier today, decided to do this. You want me to go first?
Yeah, I feel like you put more thought into it than I have. I feel like I'm going to go pretty biased in my feelings here. So I want to see how close we get, because I feel like we might be close, but I might also be pleasantly surprised.
So just because I really enjoyed this movie for what it was, again, as you, and I think in my final grade, you'll understand what I'm trying to say here. So aside from everything that we just talked about, you know, frustratingly hollowed out characters, when it came down to just seeing Godzilla versus Kong, Godzilla and Kong on the same screen, I was into it. I was hype. I was excited to see it. So I rank Godzilla versus Kong first because it is something I've been waiting for to see for a very, very long time. Skull Island is second for me. Godzilla's third. And then, of course, I think King of the Monsters, as we all know, is definitely going to rank fourth. It's not one that I'll go back and see. Get Godzilla versus this. I would watch this again in the right circumstance, and I have actually watched Skull Island, you know, a few times. So those are two that I definitely would go back and see. But I think just because of the scope and seeing these two iconic characters in, you know, in a very, very well done film. I don't know if you guys have seen the Godzilla versus Kong that came out in like the 60s. It looks nothing like this. So the fact that we got it, and you know, in modern day, I enjoyed it for what it was, and that's why I rank it just a little bit ahead of Skull Island, but it was close. Skull Island is really good.
Yeah, that's actually really funny. We have the same list, except my one and two are switched. So I actually would say Skull Island was a better film, mm-hmm. and a better movie and a better experience.
Better characters.
Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah, Godzilla versus Kong. I mean, that's hard to top. That should be in your top two. And I mean, that's really what it should have been. So it does deliver on that front. But again, as we get into our final grades and our final thoughts here, I can't help but wonder why it is so hard to make a good, very good, I should say, not just a good one, but a very good Godzilla versus Kong movie.
All right, folks. So let's get into our final grades here. I will go first. So at last, we have finally arrived at the big payoff that these films have been building up to since 2014. Now, out of all the films in this universe, Godzilla vs. Kong seems to be the only one with a sense of identity for the most part. Oh, you wanted to see two badass monsters fight and not spend too much time on uninteresting, completely non-fleshed out characters? We got you. When I look back on the three movies that preceded this one, Godzilla vs. Kong will likely rank number one, as I mentioned, with Skull Island a very close second. The visuals are beautifully done, and as someone who ranks Pacific Rim as one of their favorite movies of all time, I loved seeing the OGs go at it on screen. Sometimes a movie is just supposed to be big, dumb fun, and that's what Godzilla vs. Kong is for the most part. I honestly kind of wish I had experienced it in theaters. I will look back at these films, however, and wonder what could have been had the franchise taken advantage of having so much top-notch talent involved. Yes, I will always be salty about Bryan Cranston, but here we are, and I enjoyed myself. So I give Godzilla vs. Kong a 7 out of 10 and recommend it for a fun monster movie fight.
So in preparation for this, I actually did have a couple bullet points that I was going to try to hit in these final thoughts, right? But then I watched the Jeremy Johns video, as I referenced earlier, and he pretty much said everything I wanted to say, which just threw all my stuff out the window. Instead of being a copycat, I'm just going to say what he said. But before I do that, my just original thoughts are that this movie is not as good as it could have been. It suffers from the same problems that the last movies went to, and I would probably give it a one score grade higher had I seen it in theaters, but I also could give it a lower score given what Phil told me in regards to the Ken Watanabe character and his son in the film just being completely glossed over. You have a great opportunity there that you just completely waste, yet you still use that character. That's the type of thing that this movie really suffers from, and the quote I'm going to take from Jeremy Johns was in his final thoughts, was that this movie is 1/4 the thrill ride at the theme parks that you signed up for, and the other 3/4 of it is waiting in line. And that's really, honestly, that was my theme for my final thoughts, was like, it felt like a theme park ride, but I felt like only a little bit of it was. And like he said as well, it's just, again, you just wait on YouTube. You're going to find a really great YouTube video in a couple months or a couple weeks when someone puts it all together. I would just say go watch that. This isn't really worth your time unless you have nothing better to do. And if you don't have anything better to do, it is a good ride. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. I feel like it can't go higher than a 7 out of 10. So again, if you think it's more than that, good luck to you. I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I just couldn't do it.
Well, there you have it, folks. Our first movie review of April in a month that's going to have a couple reviews. Eric also has you covered on a review later on this month as well. But, you know, if you guys, again, if you're here for the very first time, thank you so much for joining us. And if you enjoyed this episode, I guarantee you're going to enjoy all the rest of our content, because I bet you there's something here for just about everybody. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and literally everywhere else you're finding your shows. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, though, hit that little purple icon. Go ahead and subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It's one of the best ways you can support the show. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Wait For It Podcast, and on Twitter at Wait For It Pod. And as we mentioned, we also have that YouTube page where we have reviewed Wonder Woman 84, as well as the Snyder Cut. I promise there'll be more on there. It will not only be DC movies very, very soon. But we have a whole lot planned for them coming up this month, Eric. So again, as I mentioned, check Instagram for that post, and we'll let you know all the episodes we have coming up for the rest of the month.
Yep, and I think we said everything that we could say. We put it all on the table. Phil's choking on his water. So my name is Mr. Eric Almighty. That was my co-host, Phil the Filipino.
I'm choking on my own spit.
Don't forget, we release new episodes every Monday and Wednesday. And all you have to do is wait for it.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it. Gaming. Wait for it. Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.